Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I've got a couple hundred shirts back there on two racks. I grab a shirt off of one end, I wear it in a video, and when I'm done with it, I hang it back up at the end of the other rack, and they work their way through like a rotation. And it's random. So a couple days ago, I did a video about Texas. Something happened in Texas. And then I put the shirt away, and I put this shirt on to do the next video, and of course, Texas. But today's video is about New Mexico. So there's no order to this. It's just how things are. Associated Press story someone sent me said, Steve, check this out. New Mexico court upholds $165 million damage award in a FedEx crash. It's not a lot to this story, but there's a couple things I want to talk about. But out of Santa Fe, the New Mexico Supreme Court has upheld a $165 million jury award against FedEx. It was a wrongful death lawsuit from a deadly crash involving a Texas family and a driver, a contract driver for the delivery company. I think the distinction is that they were not a direct employee, but occasionally they hire contractors to work for them, and this is a contract driver. The 2011 crash, and yes, this happened 11 years ago, shows you how long it takes stuff to get through the legal system, even in New Mexico. The 2011 crash on Interstate 10 killed a woman and her 4-year-old daughter and critically injured the woman's 19-month-old son when the family's small pickup was rear-ended. According to testimony, the big rig that was the FedEx contract driver, the big rig didn't even brake before the crash, just full speed ahead. A jury in Santa Fe awarded $93 million in compensatory damages for the estates of those family members killed and $72 million to other family members. Now, FedEx had appealed, arguing the awards were excessive and that a state district court judge should have granted the company's request for a new trial. The Supreme Court decided that that is not the case. They declined to order a new trial. And they concluded that substantial evidence supported the verdict and that the jury's award was not the result of passion or prejudice. And so, in essence, they go to trial. Jury comes back and says, you cut them a check for $165 million. FedEx asks the court, we deserve a new trial because that award there is crazy. And on appeal, it gets to the state Supreme Court. State Supreme Court says no. Evidence upholds it, we're going to leave it. There you go. Cut the check. So, couple things is that at the end of a trial, there's a whole bunch of stuff that either party can do if they're not happy with the outcome. I'm talking about civil litigation, okay, lawsuits. And one of them is a motion for new trial. And so if something happened during the trial that made it to where you couldn't get a fair shake out of this, you can argue that you're entitled to a new trial, where hopefully that same problem won't happen. And new trials do get granted from time to time. They can be granted for things such as like juror misconduct. It could be granted for a big evidentiary mistake made by the court. The court lets something in they shouldn't have, and so on. So a motion for a new trial. But you don't get a new trial just because you're unhappy with the old one. And what's weird, of course, is that in civil litigation, it's not uncommon that they just, as a matter of course, you know, file for a new trial, asking for one simply because they are unhappy with the last one. So it's something that's so common that most attorneys just expect to see that after any big jury verdict. So that's a motion for new trial is the first one. The second one that you can do if you're involved in a case and you get hit with a gigantic jury award is you file a motion for what's called remitter. And remitter is the idea that we understand that the jury wants to make us pay them money. And we might even agree that we do owe them some money, but not $165 million. So you bring a motion for remitter where you say, in essence, the jury may be right that there's liability, but they're wrong on how they calculated their damages. And remitters are often granted with respect to punitive damage awards. So you'll see it where they say, okay, we're going to give them $1 million for actual damages and $100 million for punitive damages. And there's always this argument about how big punitive damage awards should be. Some states don't even have them in certain kinds of cases, and other states do. And a lot of times they'll say, well, punitive damage award's got to be big enough to punish somebody and make it hurt. So if you've got a company that's worth billions and billions of dollars, $1 million punitive damage award might not be much. They might just go, okay, here, cut them a check. I'll take it out of petty cash, you know? So remittitor is where you ask the court to lower the amount of the award. And I wouldn't be surprised if a remittitor action had been filed here as well, a motion for remittitor. And in case you're curious, can a court ever raise an award? Yes. That's called additor. And so let's suppose we've got a contract case. I'm suing somebody for breach of contract. And everyone agrees that the contract was worth exactly $10,000. So if I win, I get $10,000. If I lose, I get zero. But that's, everyone agrees to that. I've seen cases where the parties agree. Okay? I win, I get 10. I lose, I get zero. Jury comes back with 5. Guess what's going to happen there? I'm going to file a motion for additor saying they did the math wrong. They're going to file a motion for remittitor saying the jury got the liability wrong. But the point is that there are occasions where people can say we are entitled to more money. Almost never happens. I am unaware of any cases that I've personally seen or dealt with or heard about firsthand from somebody who says, by the way, Steve, here's a case where somebody got additor successfully increasing the award they got from the jury. I'm sure it's happened. Otherwise, it still wouldn't be on the law books. Meanwhile, there's one other post-judgment thing you often hear about, which I should explain, and it's called a JNOV. That's the abbreviation for judgment non obstante verdicto, often rendered in English as judgment notwithstanding the verdict. And in a civil case, what that means is that the jury came to some conclusion and came back with their verdict. They go, here's our verdict. And the court looks at it and says that verdict is impossible based on the law. Okay? The court can, if it wants to, say, even though the jury came back with this award, the court is forced to correct it because the jury did something wrong. And the best example of that would be if, like, let's suppose there are 4 defendants and everyone agrees that this defendant has the most liability, this other defendant might have some liability, and these other 2 defendants, if they've got any liability at all, it flows through these 2 bigger defendants who are in control, something like that. And a jury comes back and renders the entire award against the less culpable defendant, ignores the one that everyone agrees should be paying something, or something like that. The jury screwed something up. And the problem with the JNOV is it is the court substituting its verdict in place of the jury's. And most courts give juries a lot of deference, meaning that they say, you know something? You might not like what the jury did, but it's a jury. I'm going to let it stand. But on appeal, you'll see appeal courts quite often spinning around verdicts found by juries and saying the jury was wrong there. The judge should have granted a JNOV. And I can tell you right now that at the end of any case where somebody loses, you're going to see a motion for a new trial and a motion for JNOV. And the JNOV is, look, we don't even need a new trial, judge. You can just fix this right now. But if you don't want to fix this right now, we get a new trial. Give us one or the other. And so you'll hear that quite a bit. But JNOV, judgment non obstante verdicto, or judgment notwithstanding the verdict. And there are other situations. I'm not going to get terribly heavily into it. But keep in mind that in a courtroom, there's the judge and a jury. Okay, I'm not talking about bench trials here because I'm trying to distinguish this for you. There's a jury and a judge. The judge rules on issues of law. The jury makes rulings on the evidence and the application of the evidence to the law. So the judge will make rulings all during the case, and then the jury goes back and deliberates based on jury instructions and the evidence they heard, and they come back and they render a verdict. If they render a verdict that makes it obvious that they ignored the law or misapplied the law, that is when you might get a JNOV. So that's the whole host of things that you could do after you get hit with a $165 million judgment. I suspect they tried several of these. And then finally, they took it up on appeal saying, look, at the very least, we're entitled to a new trial. And you'll notice that the court, Supreme Court, wrote that the substantial evidence supported the verdict and the jury's award was not the result of passion or prejudice. And so when the jury is told how to calculate damages, here is how you calculate damages. They'll be told you cannot base this on feelings. You can't base it on passion, prejudice, any emotional aspect of this. It's got to be something to be calculated rationally. And so in a case like this, there's probably all kinds of evidence about what the medical bills were, what loss of income there was, actuarial information regarding how much somebody might have earned over their lifetime. And there'd be all kinds of evidence put in to give the jury numbers to work from. The jury doesn't just go out and yank numbers out of the air. They actually work off of something. And I know a lot of people go, but Steve, $165 million? That sounds like a made-up number. Well, remember that there's a jury which is a group of people, and they came together on that number. So yeah, it's a little like how committees operate, right? Committees, I mean, there's going to be some compromises, and they're probably on some numbers. Somebody probably wanted to give them 170. Somebody else probably wanted to give them 150. Who knows? But they decided on 165, and the court said there was evidence to support not just the verdict being rendered, but the amount and size of the verdict as well. So there you go. New Mexico court upholds $165 million damage awards in the FedEx crash from the Associated Press. Thank you for sending it. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Live your life by a compass, not a clock.